Time to take a look at the pains or the aches or the strains or the sprains that you might have. Larry Mueller here, and our guest today, physical therapist, senior physical therapist, Lori Tyne Brody from the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. Welcome to you both.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's
good to be here. It is great to be
Holiday
here.
Holiday season. It's a fun time of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun time of the year. Now, a week or so ago, I was kind of walking around stiffly after that big ice storm. We just heard 10 deaths related to that ice storm across the Midwest. But I obviously didn't die, but I felt like it on the day after shoveling.
Yeah.
Well, and the snow is heavy and wet.
Heavy and wet, exactly. And, you know, there's really no good way to do it except to get a bunch of young teenagers who need to earn some money. I mean, if you have power, there's power in numbers. If you get a dozen people or so up there, then they don't have to push so much snow, and it works well together. But to do it by yourself, a snowblower. But even pushing a snowblower through
that had to be
heavy. I don't have a snowblower. I have a couple shovels and a husband.
And the ice, you know, Larry, you mentioned the ice. I saw a couple people with back pain. It's not that they fell, but they lost their balance. Ice under a little bit of covering of snow. So you don't know the ice is there. It's very treacherous. People need to be very careful if they're outside walking around.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Mike in Wausau has something to report to us, so let's go to Mike. Mike, hi. Thanks for calling.
Taking my call.
You bet.
Just last Wednesday, nothing in particular that I could pinpoint an exact reason for, but I feel like I must have pulled something in the ball of my foot, running down from my middle toe, and it makes it extremely painful to even put any pressure or any weight on. And I was wondering, besides ice and anti-inflammatories, which I've done, unfortunately I can't just quit walking or really working out.
Right.
But you know, is that kind of what I'm looking at? It feels like I'm walking on a, well, I guess it would be a small, like an extended bump, or like you get something caught in your shoe and you're walking on it all the time, like a rock.
Okay. Where do you feel that? Back by your heel, or
no? It's in the ball of my foot, directly. Like we're almost right in the middle of the ball of your foot.
Okay. And do you have numbness or tingling associated with that?
No, just quite a bit of pain.
Okay. And can you go up and down on your toes?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you walk without a limp?
Not. With very well padded shoes, I can, but barefoot or with just socks, not really.
Okay, so the biggest problem is pain, but near as you can tell, all of your muscles are functioning well. You can curl your toes, you can extend your toes. You could, if you wrap your fingers around your toes and you try to curl your toes hard, that doesn't hurt.
Well, I haven't actually done that, but I can't.
What do you mean? Come on. No, I mean, what I'm trying to sort out is whether or not it's possible that you avulsed a muscle from a bony attachment down in your foot, because, I mean, things like that can happen, where you avulse a tendon or pull off a little piece of bone and it kind of rolls up a little bit and feels like a ball underneath your foot. You know, that's probably one of the more common things that feel like that. The other possibility is you stirred up something like a neuroma that feels like a ball in the ball of your foot, but usually it's associated with numbness or tingling. I'd probably go in and have this looked at. It's an unusual enough presentation that I think getting someone to take a close look at it and get a clearer diagnosis is going to be the right thing to do, especially if you're somebody who has to work on your feet all day. In the meantime, I think continuing with the icing, wearing really well padded shoes, is the right first step to do. But I really think you probably need to have this taken. Someone take a look at this.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's unusual to pull a muscle in that part of the foot. Like Lori mentioned, things that most commonly occur. The fact that you can go up and down on your toes is a good thing in terms of the joints of your toes. But still, it's unusual enough. It sounds painful enough that probably a good idea to get it looked at.
Yep. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Paul in Powers, Michigan. It's your turn next. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
About 2 months ago, I dislocated my ring finger, the knuckle right behind where the ring should have been.
Yeah.
It was at about 120 degrees. And I tripped and fell in the woods. Being by myself, I just pulled my finger back into position. Went in the house and got a bag of frozen peas.
Good.
Yeah.
And looked for sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. in the freezer? Or?
from my wife.
Oh, okay.
So, since then, I never went to the doctor with it. I just figured, well, what would he do other than what I had done?
Sounds exactly like what I did. What I did, the same thing. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, but it's very sore.
Uh-huh.
I'm able to bend it more now than when I first did it, but mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if it's ever going to get any better. I'm 64 years old, and I don't know if it's going to
well,
get
is
any
it,
better or not.
Is it in your dominant hand?
No, it's on my ring finger on my left hand.
Okay. And do you use that hand a lot in terms of your work, your avocation, your hobbies?
Yeah, I do, but I've been able to keep on doing it, but it's just kind of limited. I can't put my wedding ring. I'm lucky I didn't have my ring on when I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if it was dislocated 120 degrees or so, chances are you really traumatized all the soft tissues. So two things. One, some of those soft tissues can be significantly damaged and can permanently impair the function of your finger. Second, if you have a dislocation that severe, there's probably a high likelihood that you also fractured. So fractures are commonly associated with dislocations. So the fracture may or may not be healing, or it may be healing but not in the appropriate place.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at it right now. It's kind of it's visibly larger than all the other knuckles.
Yeah, well, that I would expect if that was a bad dislocation. Is it ever going to get smaller? I don't know. It depends upon kind of what it looks like on the inside. How badly were those soft tissues traumatized? And was there a fracture? And is it healing or healing well? So if you want the answers to those questions and more, you're going to need to go see a doctor, someone who can take a radiograph and look at it and do an exam of the soft tissues of your finger.
I did the same thing, Paul, and only mine was 180 degrees. And
oh,
I,
gosh.
I flipped her back into a position, and
he's feeling your pain, Larry.
I thought I was in pain.
It was fine after about 11 months.
Okay.
But it was I had about 11 months worth of pain, and that was about 12, 13 years ago, and now I'm. Now I'm going to have to go in because the pain.
Can't play the piano anymore.
Can't play
the piano. The arthritis. I think I've got a little arthritis in there now. Anyway, yeah. I'm going in to see a hand specialist. The end of this month.
Yeah.
And Paul, that would probably be a good idea for you as well. If a hand specialist. If you have an internist or if you have a practice doc, you can start there or call there and describe the trauma that you've had. And they may refer you on to a hand specialist, or they may say, "Come on in," and they'll take a look at it initially. But like, thankfully, it's not your dominant hand, but like Lori said, you get some pretty significant structural damage. It doesn't mean that it won't heal over time, but your function could be very limited as time goes on and set yourself up for some pretty significant arthritis developing, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
You bet.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. I can really feel your pain.
Yeah. Yeah, you so can see it on Larry's
there's
face.
There's that sympathy he was looking for.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Sue in Oconee County, it's your turn. Hi, Sue.
Hello. I have an old injury. Well, it's not that old. I got it at Memorial Day weekend, sort of falling out of my son's truck. You know, it's one of those.
We won't ask any questions about that.
Well, it's like a mudder. So it's about 3 feet off the ground on average, and on this particular occasion, it was almost 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I landed on my right leg, and I caught myself. I didn't fall. But about 3 or 4 hours later, when we stopped moving for the day and I started to settle down, I started having lots of pain in my butt and the gluteus maximus and then in the top of my thigh. I've been to my doctor. He's got me on an anti-inflammatory, but this keeps coming back. Every time I either start getting in and out of big trucks again or just doing a lot of climbing, like at hunting season, I was climbing up and down ladders.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do I need to start looking more seriously at physical therapy to solve this problem rather than the anti-inflammatory?
Yes. I think if time and anti-inflammatory can take care of it, you would have been better by now. And the things you mentioned having difficulty with should be much easier for you. There's lots of things that can happen with a fall. You can have soft tissue trauma. You can traumatize joints to a degree. And so this would be a good time to see a physical therapist. And they would do an exam from your back all the way down to your feet, your toes on that side, and see what they have planned for you. But this would be a good time to pursue that.
Okay. So, like, after the holidays, then?
Sure. Yeah, as long as you're functioning and, you know, you're able to take care of the things you have to. It doesn't sound urgent to me. As long as there's no numbness or tingling in your down by your, below your knees or significant swelling or still bruising that's left over. If you're able to put weight on that leg and do most things, even though they're painful, this is not an urgent situation.
You go ahead, Lori.
Okay. You might want to go ahead and make that appointment now, because sometimes it takes, 3-4 weeks to get in, especially around the holidays, because people are taking vacations and stuff. So even though you're not going to go in until after the holidays, you might want to make that appointment now.
Yeah. It's not an urgent pain. I mean, the more I move, the better it gets. When I stop moving, that's when I notice the pain starts to get worse.
Yep. Common.
So... physical therapy is probably my best answer here rather than sticking on the drugs.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Faye in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Faye.
Hello. My issue is I'm a sales rep and I drive a whole lot. And I literally have a pain in my butt from sitting and driving. And it's a pressure on my right butt. You could just dig in right there and feel it. I thought it was sciatic. I saw a doctor, and he said it was probably bursitis or something. I did get 2 shots of cortisone. It really didn't do anything. And, I don't know, driving for, it gets really tough sometimes. I have ice packs in my car that I sit on, and I do a lot of working out and stretches and he didn't seem to think physical therapy would help. I'm just wondering, do you know what this is, or have you heard of this before?
Hey, how long has this been going on?
Well, actually, it'll be 3 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Well, it can be a couple things. Typically, the area that you're sitting on, it's part of it is the sciatic notch. It's the area where the sciatic nerve comes out of and then courses down the leg. It doesn't sound like true sciatica.
Because that's what he said. That's what the doctor said.
Right. With that, you get some sharp, burning pain going down the back of the thigh and sometimes numbness and tingling below the knee. And so as long as your symptoms are local, it could be related to the hip and associated muscles in the area. It could also be related to your low back area, especially with all the driving that you do. Sometimes you get pain referral from the lumbar area down into the buttock region. I think this sounds very appropriate for physical therapy, at least just to examine you. And they'll be able to tell you within a visit or two whether they have any answers for you or not. The fact that you're very active and exercise is part of your lifestyle is a really good thing, and there may be some things that they can add or modify to your current workout program that could also help you. But the fact that you're needing to take ice packs along with you in the car and all the driving that you do...
Well, that's not every day. That's like... kind of is on and off. And I was just wondering, would abdominal strength be really important in this? Would that help? I do everything except a lot of that.
Yeah. Yes, it's some core strength certainly can have an important role here. But the fact that you get it when you're sitting it means it's not just a strength issue or a weakness issue. There's something else going on in that immediate area, or my guess is maybe right above that area, that might be able to be handled with exercise, but probably not just strengthening.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guest today, physical therapist at the University of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have an ache, a pain, a sprain, or a strain, we hope you'll join in with your questions, or maybe it's a child or a daughter or a son, or maybe it's somebody else in the family. Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison, it's 263-1890, 263-1890. Jim Packard was mentioning to me that 1 in 4 men will have osteoporosis-related fractures during their lifetime. Are there things that we can do to keep bones healthy, men?
Absolutely. Men and women alike, there are many things you can do to keep your bones healthy. I mean, first you work with your physician on whatever nutritional and medication-related things that might be missing from your diet, your vitamin D, calcium, and things like that. But then exercise is critically important for bone health. And what they're showing is that in the elderly, for bone mass, you need, first of all, a variety of types of activities, not just walking. For example, many people say, well, I walk every day. Bone needs different kinds of stimuli to remain strong. So just walking every day is insufficient. It needs a variety of things. So strength training, maybe low impact activities, just a variety of different things. And also studies are showing that elderly people need higher load activities as well. Not only for their bone strength, but for their muscle strength.
Yeah, Lori's right. The principles are the same for both men and women. A critical time is in early years, up until we all lose bone density at some point.
Right.
But the key is how filled up is your bone bank when you start losing that bone? So, you know, kids, adolescents, people in their early, mid-20s is a critical time where you can build up bone mass. Once we all start losing bone density, then other factors are there are certain illnesses that are accompanied by accelerated bone density loss, people with diabetes or certain kidney problems. And so for both men and women, if they are diagnosed with diseases like that, it's important that they follow up closely with their physician, make sure those conditions are controlled well, because that can help minimize the bone density loss that can go along with those conditions.
Okay. All right, Bob in Claybanks has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Hi, guests. Thanks again for having the show.
Sure.
I've got a sharp pain that I get in the top of both hands from time to time, and it kind of seems like a rubber band's being dragged over something and then snapping back. And I wondered if you might have any idea what that would be and what kind of exercises I might do to minimize that.
That's on the back of your hand?
Right.
And whereabouts on the back of your hand?
It's right behind the palm.
Oh, right behind the palm. On the palm side of your hand?
No, on the top.
On the top.
On the other side, yeah.
On the other side. Well, there are several tendons that extend your fingers there, and they're held in place by retinaculum. Which are kind of fascial sheaths that hold tendons in place so that they have a straight line of pull. And it may be that you have a deficiency or in a defect in one so that it's not being held sufficiently. And when you move through the range of motion, it's snapping around a bony prominence. Has it been this way all your life?
No, it just started a couple months ago.
And did you have any kind of injury or trauma that you know of?
No.
And is it painful?
It's just a sharp pain. It's like I feel a sharp pain, and then I kind of feel something move in there, and then it's gone.
And do you work with your hands for a living? Is this something that happens frequently? It's a daily occurrence or just an occasional?
I'm a house painter, and it might happen two or three times a week, once or twice a day. I don't think it's ever happened much more than twice a day.
Okay. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions, Bill?
Well,
it's not a problem I've heard of before.
No. And the tendons certainly make sense. And if they are sliding, and they can slide and slip a little bit as they course over the wrist and all the small bones there. Does it happen into both hands at the same time, or is it always when you're using that one hand with activity, Bob?
It's been in either hands, and it really, it's like when I start an activity, you know, if I'm starting to do something, and I just move my hand a little bit, that's when it happens.
All right. Yeah. I'm not sure I have any magic answers for you in terms of a particular exercise. I have more questions than answers yet.
Let me ask one more question. Do you see a tendon slipping, or do you just feel it?
No, I just feel it. It's kind of like like a rubber band snap kind of feeling.
You know, I have another theory in that it's not actually a tendon, but it may be the joints of your wrist, and it's just referring there. So you could have a little bit of instability or overuse syndrome at your wrist because of your work. And so you may think about some wrist splints while you're painting and see if that helps with the problem. You may just be getting an overuse syndrome at your wrist.
Yeah.
That's probably a more likely scenario, like a scapholunate dissociation or some sort of thing.
Yeah, considering your vocation, Bob, of painting, that's, again, that kind of accelerates the potential concern with this. You don't want it to get worse. You don't want the pain to become constant where
right.
you can't do your work. So again, maybe seeing a hand specialist, they may refer you to rehabilitation for either splinting or certain exercises, but it'd be good to kind of narrow it down as to what's the source of the pain.
Yeah, if you could try just an over-the-counter wrist splint, even try it on one, and see if it stops in that hand, and then you still have it in the other hand, and then you'll at least have isolated it to the location of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Is a wrist splint kind of like the wrist guards they have for skiing and roller skating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be a pre-indicator of any carpal tunnel symptoms, would it?
Doubtful.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like it to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thanks, Bob. Sheila in Viroqua, your turn now. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm calling about what my podiatrist diagnosed as plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
However, my heels don't hurt at all. It's the soles of my feet that hurt, that are painful. And I've had two custom orthotics. And, first one worked for quite a while, and then that stopped working, and then I got a second one made, and then that now doesn't help either. Now I've been putting one on top of the other, and that helped for a while. It seems like I have to kind of keep switching things and mm-hmm. putting lifts in on the heels, and I had physical therapy, I've had acupuncture, and I'm wondering, and I'm exercising much less because my feet are hurting. Do you mm-hmm. have any suggestions?
So do you have pain first thing in the morning?
No.
That kind of?
No, it's not like that. Hmm. I get pain from being on them too long, especially standing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually better if I can get some walking in mm-hmm. every day, but I can't even walk on hard cement anymore. I have mm-hmm. to walk on, on softer ground.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like a classic plantar fasciitis case. So, the physical therapist, you tried what, various stretching, strengthening?
Yeah, stretching, and then she put something on the bottom of my feet, kind of taped something on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did that help at all?
Well, that kind of got me through a little crisis, but it never, relieved it.
Okay, and this is both feet?
Yeah, both feet.
Numbness or tingling?
No, sometimes there's kind of a burning feeling on the bottom.
Okay. Boy, it sounds not like a classic plantar fasciitis, maybe a tarsal tunnel. If you have a little bit of neurologic symptom, some burning or tingling or another nerve entrapment like a medial calcaneal nerve or something like that.
Yeah, I would agree, especially no pain in first thing in the morning mm-hmm. and where your pain is. In fact, it's both feet. Sheila, do you have any back pain at all?
No.
And any pain up in around your lower legs or thighs?
No.
Okay. All right. So the most likely, it's a local problem around that foot and ankle. But I would agree with Lori, looking outside or beyond plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, I might try to find another physical therapist who specializes in foot and ankle. There are people who just only look at people's feet all day. So that might be another route to go. Another thing to consider is, have you tried any off-the-shelf, just, from the local sporting goods store or a place like that, those arch supports?
Yep, I've got a whole big collection.
You have a large collection of them. Very good. Because there's a fair number of research studies that show that off-the-shelf orthotics do as well or better than custom orthotics in a lot of people.
Well, I haven't gone back to them for a long time. I guess I could get them out again or try some different ones.
Well, given that what you say, that changing a lot makes a big difference, you might try that. But I would try another physical therapist who specializes in foot and ankle and maybe get a better or a more clarification on your diagnosis
mm-hmm.
Or another physician who specializes in foot and ankle and let them know the history and everything you've been through and the question of whether or not it is actually plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you much.
Yeah,
you
thanks,
bet. Good luck, Sheila.
Dan in St. Paul, it's your turn now. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Hello, guest.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was chuckling as I was listening to the previous caller because I, too, am developing a pretty good collection of orthopedic issues. I just laughed. But, yeah, I'm calling to see if you can give me some guidance and ideas here on On pain I'm having on my left foot, it began about 2 years ago when I was on a big walk. I'm in really good health. I'm in my late 40s. And it began about 2 years ago, all of a sudden, more or less, while I was going on this big effort to do a lot of walking. I was walking 5-6 miles a day, and it just appeared and got progressively worse. So I laid off, and since then, it kind of comes and goes, usually from some strain, but it also, it comes, even when I'm at rest, my foot will begin to hurt by itself, and moving my foot, you know, curling my foot upwards usually relieves the pain. And the pain is that it's on the lower base of my foot, running laterally, excuse me, and it starts off as a burning pain, so it seems like a nerve thing. But then that lasts for a little bit, and then it works its way up vertically and becomes kind of a muscle ankle pain going up into my ankle area. And so I'm at a loss. I've got really good shoes. I don't know if you're familiar with the New Balance 926 shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I buy those. They're kind of expensive, but I buy those with inserts, and I've been experimenting with inserts. In fact, yesterday I spent about $300 on foot related stuff. So I, so I'm just kind of trying to be proactive about it. It's cramping my style. It's not a severe thing, but it's chronic in the sense that it comes and goes and it doesn't get relieved.
Yeah.
And this is on the outside of your foot?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, exactly. On the outside of my left foot.
Around your ankle bone?
Yeah, in around the ankle bone. It starts, the burning pain starts just below the ankle and it goes towards the foot, probably an inch or two. So, and it's not a deep burning pain, but it's an uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. I can tell it's starting up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that either dies down a little bit or just persists.
Mm-hmm.
And then my ankle starts getting sore. And, you know, if I'm out walking around, I inevitably will start limping and I have to get off my feet to rest it and what have you.
And can you put your finger on any place that hurts? Can you touch it and find a sore spot?
No, not really. Nothing like a bruised feeling, no.
Okay, all right. Because there are some tendons that run around your ankle bone and go down just past it a little ways, your peroneal tendons. So, but those are fairly superficial, and you could put your finger on them and figure out if they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be some sort of a tendonitis. It could also be, you know, another nerve problem, like a sural nerve entrapment situation. So have you tried a like a medial wedge?
Medial wedge?
Well, it would be a wedge that you fit in your shoe that lifts up your foot on the inside, kind of tips your heel bone, your calcaneus, kind of tips it out a little bit into varus. You know what that is, you know? Kind of tips your heel bone a little bit outward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that sounds like a high arch support, and that's effectively what I get by getting the New Balance 926s plus these. And I'm now up to $50 a pair for the inserts I'm buying. So,
yeah.
And they've got a high arch support plus the tensioner that
right, sure.
that gives your exercise to your
sure.
Whatchamajig down below your foot.
Yeah, I know about those whatchamajigs. Have you seen a physical therapist? Have you seen?
No, I haven't done anything that's really like what I'd call an acute boost of the arch support. Isn't that what you're basically suggesting?
Actually, no. I'm not talking about your arch. I'm talking about your heel. An arch support in orthotic can control what's called your rear foot back at your heel, or it can control down at your forefoot. So combines both those things. But have you seen a physical therapist?
No. I've been kind of just
okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like you've stuck a lot of money in your shoes and messing around with this without getting real good clarification about what the problem is. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, I'd kind of stop buying stuff and go see somebody. Let somebody take a look at it. It could be something as silly as it seems as simple as a leg length imbalance.
Oh, okay.
That's causing one foot to function mechanically different from the other one. So at this point, rather than throwing any more money in the orthotics, although I am thinking about buying stock in an orthotics company at this point in the show today, get a good diagnosis and find out what's going on, and let somebody direct your exercises and your orthotic purchases.
Yeah, Dan, when you go in, bring your new shoes in, and if you can, you still bring your old shoes in. Sometimes they can get information from wear patterns in the bottoms of shoes.
Okay.
So bring in some of the stuff that you have purchased. That'll help the therapist.
And take a big bag, fill it all up.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Good luck,
Dan.
You
could have a garage sale.
Good luck, Dan. Carl in Greenbush, your turn. Hi, Carl.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I'm calling on behalf of my wife. She's in her early 60s, has never really been, hasn't been athletic recently, but had a bad fall and had a hip fracture, and which resulted in a left hemi arthroplasty. And she's obviously pretty concerned about range of motion at this point, and particularly fearful about slipping on the ice or anything like that. What range of motion limitations does she really need to respect? She's been told nothing more than 90 degrees, she's had some regimen of occupational and physical therapy, and we're looking forward to probably more of the same.
Carl, when did the fall happen?
Early August.
Okay. In terms of, it's important that the guidelines are followed for the range of motion limitation. And I'm assuming 90 degrees of flexion or not bending that hip. Until the surgeon gives the A-OK that she is free to move in any and all directions that she wants.
Does that ever happen?
Yes, it should.
Okay.
Although depending on the type of surgery, there are some hip joint positions that you want to avoid. But what's critical related to this, so you need to follow instructions from the surgeon to the detail.
Right.
But it's important that she continues to strengthen that area and do a lot of balance work. And that's where the therapist can help. Understandably, the worries about ice and ever falling again, I'm sure, has to be
profound.
Absolutely. And the fear that can go with that. So the strengthening and balance work is critical. That'll help protect her and help also give her some more confidence in that hip.
Now, does the hemiarthroplasty, does that mean it's just the femoral bone insert, or does it mean the socket also?
It's going to be one or the other, and most likely probably talking about the femur, the head of the femur, is what I would guess based on what you described.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl, the pool is a great place to work on her balance and strength. You can do a lot of things in single leg standing.
Okay.
To strengthen the muscles around the hip and improve her balance when you're only partially weighted in the pool. So that's a good place to do that if you have that available to you.
Now, she had asked about Tai Chi, but the surgeon said he knew nothing about those moves or forms and how that would impact on...
A couple of things about that. First, depending upon where you live, many times there are Tai Chi classes that are offered in the pool, which is Tai Chi in the pool. So again, you have limited weight bearing. And second, whether it's Tai Chi or Tai Chi, a good instructor will know how to modify positions and postures for people who have had this kind of surgery. So as long as she brings those restrictions with her, and in answer to your question, if those are ever lifted, what I've found is that it's very dependent upon the surgeon. Some surgeons say you have those restrictions for life.
Okay.
And other surgeons say after a certain number of months, 6 months or so, things are looking good, you look solid, you haven't had any episodes of instability, you can relax them a little bit.
So there's always that concern about something popping out of...
Yeah. And typically, there are three things you avoid: flexion past 90, adduction or crossing the midline of the body, and internal rotation past neutral. But the worst position is the combination of all three of those things.
Yeah.
So any one of those is less risky than doing all three of them together.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Carl. And let's go to Susan in Marquesan next. Susan, hi to you.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having an unusual neck problem, I think. I do very physical labor. I'm a potter, and so I'm always using my hands. And a few weeks ago, I overdid it on my wheel, which I hadn't done in a while. And in the following few weeks, I've been getting symptoms in my face of muscle spasms in my face, leading me to go to the dentist thinking it was a tooth, numbness and tingling on half my face, which goes away if I ice my neck. Hmm. I've been going to a chiropractor. I had an x-ray, and they said that definitely I've got arthritis in my neck, that the O1 and O2 were off.
Okay.
And they've been helping me out, but I just tried to do something this morning, and it's immediately if I pick up anything heavy.
Okay. Susan, where on your face do you get the numbness and tingling? Is it around the mouth, the nose, out by the ear?
Mostly the mouth, and the muscles that go to my lower jaw are the ones that spasm.
Okay.
But the tingling and itching is kind of my whole cheek area. And I actually did cause it to droop one day before I actually just stopped working. That was what led me to stop work. Don't do anything.
Well, yeah, you bet. Yeah, you know, the spasm is one thing. It's not unusual to have muscle spasm around, certainly around the jaw and related to the neck. But the numbness and tingling, where you described it, is very unusual to be coming from the neck. There are some nerves from the upper part of the neck that do innervate skin around the ear and a little bit of the outside of the jaw, but not in the areas that you described. It's a different part of the nervous system. And, and it's half your face. That concerns me as well. I think what I would do is I would go to your medical doctor.
I would go soon.
I would go soon.
And yeah, I've got my appointment for tomorrow, and then I'm seeing a physiatrist in January.
Okay.
That I've seen before, because I have a history of herniated discs.
Okay.
And it definitely runs in my family, everybody from the teenagers on up.
You bet. Well, that would account for maybe some of the spasms that you're feeling. But I would make it clear about the numbness and tingling and where it is, and also your face drooping, even though it sounded like it was a brief incident. Make sure you describe that as well when you go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan, for calling. Lori Tyne-Brody and Bill Boisenault. Lori is a senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. Bill, an associate professor of physical therapy at the UW Medical School. Our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You have some physical issues that you would like to talk about with our two guests today, our physical therapists, Lori Tyne-Brody and Bill Boisenault. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Bill, you were mentioning to me before the show that you've had some emails from people that after the fact that you followed up on some and were just getting to some others.
Yes. There were two people in particular. We were in last month that I told them I'd get some follow-up information, and I left a message for one of the two, and the second person I was doing more digging, and the email I printed off got buried on my desk. And I found it 2 days ago, and so that person was out there wondering, where is this guy? He told me he's going to contact me. I apologize for the delay, but it's back on top of the pile.
Okay, good.
And I will follow up, as promised last month.
Good to know. Linda in Viroqua, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Linda.
Hello. I'm finding your show very informative.
Thank you.
As I'm sitting here, I have an issue with numbness in my hands, and my left hand is holding the phone, and I'm going numb.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I especially have it at night to the point I sleep soundly, but will wake up with pain in my hands from the numbness. I probably know the answer to this. I need to go see a physical therapist.
Well, possibly. Linda, how long has this been going on?
This particular episode has been going on for like 2 months. It's happened before, and then it goes away, and which made me think maybe it was a pinched nerve in my back or...
Mm-hmm. All right, and it's both hands, correct?
Both hands, but the left hand much more than the right. And it may be my sleeping pattern. I'm all over the map, but I have a tendency to shove my left hand under my pillow and up.
Yeah, you know, if it was only at night, then I'd feel much more confident or comfortable with this. Sometimes sleeping positions, we cut off blood flow a little bit, and that can cause tingling and some numbness.
My hand stays warm. My hand is not cold.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not losing. It doesn't feel like a lack of circulation at all.
Okay. All right. Have you seen anybody for this in the past?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a physical therapist could potentially help you, and it could be coming from your neck. It could be some local wrist and hand issues. But the fact that what you described to me, probably what I recommend first is go see your physician and describe the symptoms to them. I mean, it could be anything related to medications or some other, you know, some people have diabetes and develop numbness, tingling. It could be carpal tunnel. But I'd feel more comfortable if you saw your physician first and have them examine you. And then possibly consider physical therapy after that.
Yep. Okay.
I think that would be the best route to go.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. And Mary in Butler, it's your turn now. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to someone because I have some big-time problems that are really very troubling. I was in a car accident a week ago today, and I was taken to the emergency room. They told me that I had a broken hip, pelvic bone. However, I did not need surgery. And I was in the hospital, and they were keeping me there from day to day to day to day. And every day they would say, well, you can go home tomorrow. But then they said, take some more x-rays. They took a ton of x-rays and all kinds of stuff. And I do have a medical history and osteoarthritis and all this stuff. Terrible knee problem on that same leg, on the side where the hip is, right? Okay. Yes. And I told them that I'm having, and I'm struggling with that, and I'm not getting any kind of real help with that. And I'm trying to do my own physical therapy because nobody is helping me with that. And now I know I need to go through physical therapy with this business with the hip. I can't put weight on that leg. I'm walking around with a walker. Good thing I had a walker because of my knee. However, I have a son who's a doctor way up north, and he's telling me I should be in some kind of a program, a rehab program. The hospital sent me home last Friday without any instructions or anything. No follow-through. The doctor saw me twice in the hospital, talked very little with me, kept saying, oh, I'm going to get back to you and talk to you. Never did. I felt like I was just, like, totally ignored over there, and they just kind of sent me home.
Yeah.
And I'm on my own, and now there's going to be a nurse coming this afternoon that the hospital is sending out for some kind of follow-up. I need to know what kind of questions do I need to ask to make sure I get into a program that's going to address my problems here. I need to get back on my feet. I had been working full-time up until this happened.
Okay.
And, you know, and I'm 80 years old, but that doesn't mean that I am good for nothing anymore.
No.
Right on, Mary.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you got through. And on the list of your questions when this nurse or if it's nurse or social worker comes in today is just to help clarify them what is the plan, the specific plan regarding to any assistance you need around the house, information related to rehabilitation. Is somebody going to be coming to your home, which I would think home care would be something that they would be considering. Or if you're to go to the hospital, is there transportation for you? So questions about assistance around the house, questions specifically related to the rehabilitation that is planned for you.
I pretty much have taken care of that. I live in a house by myself.
Okay.
And it's a very small house. It's 30 feet square. Everything I need is right there. And, you know, and I've been managing. I just have a hard time getting around with a walker, and I can manage to do that, and it's safe for walker use.
Okay.
You know. And I consider myself as being sensible about all this stuff, but I need to know what do I have to do with exercises and stuff because, man, even just to move that leg, to take the step forward with the walker, I sometimes have to lift it with my hand and pick it up and move it up, and then I can follow up with the other leg, and that's how I move around. Something's got to be better than that.
Right. There should be orders for physical therapy. I mean, you should have left the hospital. The doctor should have written in your discharge orders, when you were discharged from the hospital, your plan for physical therapy and a physical therapy referral. So if that wasn't done, then whoever comes to your house should ensure that an order is written for you to get physical therapy. And as Bill said, physical therapy can come to your house, home health physical therapy. They can show you things to do in your home. And then once you're able to attend outpatient physical therapy, then you will be transitioned to outpatient physical therapy, and they will go through all those things with you.
Yeah, and then exactly, and Mary, on top of that, you can ask questions about how much weight can you safely put on your leg? And if there are restrictions, how long those restrictions are going to be in place. I'm assuming at some point you'll be going back in to see a doctor for a follow-up. We'll probably do
X-ray. I could come back. He just gave me an order to come back in 2 weeks, and I thought, isn't that neat? I don't even know what we're going to talk about because we never talked about anything so far yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be, again, something to ask the nurse about. So what's going to happen when you go back and see the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm sure there are rehabilitation plans. You should have been provided mm-hmm. with an outline of what's going to happen. Sometimes just a couple weeks of healing need to take place before you can do much in terms of rehab. But having said that, mm-hmm. The plan should be laid out for you clearly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you have any more questions, you should call patient relations in the hospital where you were taken.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thank you very much, Mary, for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, good luck to you. Get some answers to those questions. John in Milwaukee, it's your turn next. Hi, John.
Good morning, Larry and guests.
Morning.
I have two questions. Hopefully they will not be complex. One is concerning myself and target heart rate for fat burning. I'm 60 years old. I've been exercising for 8 years. Currently, I'm working out 4 or 5 times a week with a cross trainer, 2 hours per session. I'm not losing any weight. I'm wondering if my target heart rate for my age, because I've been working out, should be perhaps a little higher.
Yep.
Okay. Because currently, because the charts have been saying 100, maybe to 112 beats per minute,
yeah.
Maybe I should have that higher for myself.
Yeah, I mean, typically the range, it's 220 minus your age, and you take 60 to 80% of that. But that being said, if you're training at a stationary pace for 2 hours, that could be part of your problem. You should be doing some sort of interval training, where you're going at a steady pace and then you ramp up like a fartlek. Do you know that term? The Swedish
sure.
term of speed play? Yeah. You should be doing some sort of speed play to increase your intensity and then bring it back down again. So you need some variability in your training stimulus.
Fine. I like that idea, and I'll start with that today. My second question is concerning my 26-year-old daughter. She's reporting to me that shortly after aerobic workout, mostly a treadmill for 50 minutes. She'll get off, and shortly after that, she's experiencing some nausea, which does go away after 10, 15 minutes, but it's an unpleasant feeling to her. And I didn't know, I'm suggesting it might be, she might need some carbs or something before working out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any suggestions, a broad range I could have her investigate?
Well, I mean, you're probably right that it has something to do with the balance of her exercise and her food intake. So, you know, I don't know what time of day she exercises, if it happens, you know, regardless of what time of day she exercises and what her food intake has been. But certainly when you start exercising, the blood flow moves away from your gut. You know, at rest, a lot of your blood flow is to your brain and to your gut and internal organs. And so you start exercising, there's a shift away. So depending upon what she has eaten and what the status is of her digestion, she can have some nausea afterwards. So, you know, she should try to maybe keep a log to start with and see what she's eaten, if that impacts it. Try eating some, you know, banana, a power bar or something like that ahead of time, or something easily digested, and just play around with it. Or having something right when she gets off that may settle her stomach a little bit.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you very
Good
much
luck.
For calling. And on to Sandy in Nodine, Minnesota. Sandy, hi to you.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Great, thank you for calling.
Good, a great show this morning. I wanted to go back to a gentleman that had called maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes ago, and he was talking about, and I just tuned in at that point, but he was talking about a snapping that he was having, sort of like a rubber band feeling or snapping in
mm-hmm.
his wrist.
Yeah, sure.
Right, and I just wanted to actually mention that I actually had that same thing happen to me in my right wrist about 5 years ago. I was really overusing it. I guess at that point I was a stay-at-home mom and I was carrying my toddler kind of all over the house to get things done, and I was experiencing that same, if I moved my wrist a certain way, it would just snap and mm-hmm. it would kind of send this pain up and down. So I went and I saw a doctor. What they did was they did an MRI and mm-hmm. found that there was something, and my husband doesn't recall if it was on the tendon itself or on the bone, but they mm-hmm. basically did a surgery. I was in and out within a few hours. They scraped something away. And I have never had that pain since. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up. I don't recall what it is because, again, it's been been several years ago, but it really, really helped me, and I can sympathize because it was definitely an uncomfortable feeling.
Okay. Yeah, well, great. See, there's always people out there who know what's going on.
Lots of resources.
So, yeah, exactly.
Thank you,
Sandy, well, that's
for
great.
That.
So hopefully Bob is still listening and he'll take that information.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Joyce in Green Bay is coming up next. Joyce, do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do. About a week ago, I was going to do some grocery shopping, and my left ring finger broke blood vessel in it, and the whole finger, the palm side of the finger turned black and blue, and then that gravitated up to the top, and then my fingertip was cold, you know, for like maybe 3 or 4 days after that. But the black and blue is gone now, but the finger is still swollen. Like, I can only wear a real thin part of my wedding band, my wedding set.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we'll ponder that, and we will come back with an answer. And I'm sure we'll get one from our two guests, Lori Tyne-Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking aches and pains and sprains and strains now with our two guests, Lori Tyne-Brody from the UW Sports Medicine Center, where she's senior physical therapist, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. And lots of people who have questions for you, including Joyce from Green Bay, who had a finger problem. Her left ring finger broke. The blood vessel broke on the she says.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, the finger's swollen up. It was black and blue. It's no longer black and blue. But now, and it's been cold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There are a number of things that can go wrong with your finger. And a broken blood vessel shouldn't discolor your finger all the way through the whole length of your finger and result in it feeling cold and still be swollen. So I think she probably damaged some other tissue in there, whether she tore a tendon or ruptured a ligament. There's just a number of soft tissue structures that contribute to the fine motor movement of your hand. And I would suggest that she go see her physician and have this looked at to find out exactly what happened and what kind of treatment she needs. She may need to be immobilized. She may need some kind of a splint.
Oh.
But she really needs a thorough evaluation because the presentation she describes isn't just a broken blood vessel,
right,
in my opinion.
I agree. It's unusual for that.
JJ in Neillsville, it's your turn now. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello there. I appreciate you talking to me.
Sure.
My problem is the main joint on my thumb on the left hand started acting funny a couple months ago, and it, well, like when you bend the joint, it's kind of like a little clicking, and it hurts to bend it and click it forward, and then I got to click it back, and it hurts a little bit, but otherwise it don't really bother me. And I'm kind of wondering, like, what is that, maybe arthritis or something, or should I, try keep bending it? Would that be better to work it out or just leave it straight or what?
Did you have an injury to it, JJ?
No, I don't even, it just all of a sudden appeared out of the blue.
Okay. And does it feel unstable or just clicks?
It just kind of clicks.
And does it hurt when it clicks?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? Okay. Well, in the absence of an injury, probably the most likely thing is it could be a little bit of wear and tear arthritis. The joints there have little discs or little cartilage in between them and synovial fluid and things like that that can click just like any other joint in your body, your feet or your knees, how they crack on the stairs and things like that. So that could be what's going on. Probably I would just keep an eye on it for a while, and I would continue to use it like you normally would. You might try a little bit of strengthening with it. For example, an easy strengthening exercise is just to take a newspaper, open it up, and grab one of the big sheets by a corner and just crumple it up into your hands. It's just a good strengthening exercise for your hands in general. Or washing the dishes. I always like to tell people that getting your hands in the dishwasher with a sponge and squeezing the sponge and the movement of washing dishes is good for your hands. And just keep an eye on it. If it starts to hurt or starts to click more or feels unstable or you're feeling swelling or you feel like you're losing grip strength, then go in and have it looked at.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, hey, I appreciate it. You know, a fun fact about doing the dishes, too, is a husband's never been shot while doing dishes.
All right. We'll remember that one, JJ. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, JJ.
That was a good one. I like that one.
I needed that.
Thanks, JJ. Judy and Ashland are in the Ashland area is next, so let's go there. Thanks for calling, Judy.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My husband has his knee has been hurting him for about the last 6 weeks. He gets a very sharp pain on his right knee, inside on the left part of his knee.
On his right knee, okay. On the inside left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and did he have an injury to it? Did he fall or injured in any way?
Well, he's fallen several times, and we used to be dairy farmers.
Okay.
But nothing in the just recently?
No.
Okay.
Okay, and is his knee swelling at all?
It is a little bit swelled, yes.
Okay, all right. And when you look at him, is in his shorts, because he probably wears shorts a lot, is he bowed-legged? Is he knock-kneed? Does he have straight legs?
A tad bowed, but not tremendous. No.
Okay. My best guess is that he's got either a little bit of arthritis on the inside of his joint, or he has a little cartilage tear on the inside of his joint. People who do a lot of squatting, bending, up and down, who have a little bit of bowed knees, put a lot of stress on the inside of their knees. And you have a tendency to get some wear and tear arthritis there. And or you can wear out your cartilage, your meniscus cartilage or your joint surface cartilage, and that will cause swelling in your knee. So I'd probably have him go in and see his doctor, take a look at it, and have him get seen by physical therapy. They can give him some exercises to do. They can give him some things to do to help keep his knee strong and the muscles in his leg strong so that if it is arthritis, it doesn't worsen. There's also some braces and some orthotic things you can do to take some of the load off the inside of your knee, and the physical therapist can help with those things also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the other day he was out working on a tractor for several hours in the cold.
Uh-huh.
And when he came in that spot, he got a horrible cramp in his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cold will certainly affect it if arthritis is the primary problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate the call. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm.
Ah.
And, you know, if you got 60 or 70 milk cows that you're milking, the number of times that you bend down, squat down,
exactly.
Put the milkers on, take the milkers off, morning and night,
right?
It's a lot of bending.
Right. Repetitions just add month after month.
Right, and you're walking around on cement, and the surfaces are slippery and uneven. It's all just hazards for your knees.
Yeah. Jenny in Fort Atkinson will turn to you next. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond to the gal who was saying that she had facial numbness and arm numbness and problems after working on her potter's wheel and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the last year and a half, I've probably been dealing with very similar symptoms. I had one neurologist diagnose me with MS. I had another one tell me that, no, you don't have MS. And I've just been through a lot of different appointments with many different people trying to seek out what is wrong. And I have finally found answers in dealing with my TMJ joint in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to encourage her, as well as seeing her physician. It just seemed that no one really prompted me to go and check out the jaw. And it has made a significant difference, just repositioning, wearing a mouthpiece and repositioning the position of my jaw. I rarely get the facial numbness. My arm numbness is improved. The headaches and neck pain and everything is definitely improved. So I just wanted to encourage that, because I don't think it's something that is very commonly thought to.
That's a good point. The temporal mandibular joint, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the TMJs. Mm-hmm. And we did not mention about going to a dentist, and I would encourage Susan, if she goes to her medical doctor and gets some of the things you mentioned cleared and told this is not the issue, if they don't have specific answers, then someone who specializes in temporal mandibular joint problems would be a good place to go.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
great. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Good point. Jared in Downers Grove, Illinois, you are next. Hi, Jared.
Hello. How are you guys, Vic?
Great.
I got to admit, I did a little dumb thing. I was backing a trailer up,
and I couldn't quite see, so I had my head out the door, my door open.
Okay.
And I hit the gas, and the door came slamming closed on my head.
Ouch.
Oh!
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to laugh.
It was bad. It brought me down. And ever since then, even after the pain disappeared in my head, my arm goes numb from my shoulder all the way down to my fingertips, especially when I'm sleeping. If I sleep on my side of my left side where my arm is going numb, it just completely goes numb. If I lift something up maybe a little too heavy, it instantly goes numb all the way down. And I was wondering if I did some nerve damage or...
Yeah, it certainly is possible. I mean, it sounds probable, that a nerve got injured in to some degree. How long ago was this, Jared?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks, okay. All right. Have you seen anybody for?
No, I thought it'll go away. Okay. I don't know if it's going to go away.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it sounds like the pains look better, but the fact that the numbness is still there, I would go in and see your physician. They'll talk to you potentially about maybe taking an x-ray of your neck. But I wouldn't mess around with this, with the numbness in particular, with the injury that you described.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jared.
Good luck, Jared.
Thanks very much for calling. Oh, boy. Janet in Oregon. Your turn. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I wanted to speak with Bill because I have spinal stenosis.
Okay.
And I've had some physical therapy. I did it in the pool there, and then I do it at water exercise here in Oregon. But I was wondering what other things could be done.
Okay. What is spinal stenosis, by the way, Bill?
Well, it's narrowing. And, Janet, I'm assuming it's in your low back area. Is that
yes.
correct? Okay. There are openings that the spinal cord and nerves travel through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a variety of things that can narrow. I'll talk about narrowing the window, just decrease the space available for the nerves or spinal cord. And oftentimes people, it's pain is an issue, but not as big of an issue as numbness or weakness down into one, oftentimes both legs.
Oh.
And so it tends to start when people are in their mid-40s and older. It tends to be when these symptoms begin. And, on occasion, surgery is the best answer for people because of the compression on the nerves. The pool is a really good place to exercise and for rehabilitation for these folks. The spine's unweighted. You can do a little higher level of activity in terms of strengthening and conditioning. Besides the pool, and it simulates the pool, is there are some there's an unweighting apparatus that you can put over a treadmill or a bike. That again, it unloads the spine and allows people to exercise at a fairly high level.
Hmm.
Generally, flexion or bending exercises are recommended for symptom relief, but certainly for things like walking and stair climbing, strengthening exercises and core stabilization also is important. So, Janet, the pool is a really good place to exercise in. But besides the pool, if you just feel that's taking you as far as it can or you don't have access to pool anymore, potentially finding a clinic that has an unweighting system that, again, they could use over a treadmill or a bike, along with some core stabilization and some hip stretching exercises, it oftentimes is a good combination.
Okay.
I've done most of those things.
Okay. All right.
But I have hips replaced and my knees need replacing. So.
Okay.
But, you know, that makes me, I can't be on my feet very long at all.
Yeah. Well, and that's the challenge. And spinal stenosis is challenging enough if you have good knees and hips.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're struggling with that as well doesn't mean that you can't get better, but the progress is going to tend to come slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And really need to be persistent with the activities. But the pool is also a good place for your knees and hips.
Mm-hmm. That's the only place I can do anything because I can't have weight on my body.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How often can you get to the pool?
Well, I've been trying to go 3 times a week.
Okay. All right. And are you involved in any group classes?
Yeah, it is the one in Oregon. But
okay.
They do a lot of, a little bit of everything. And it's good for the heart, too, because I can't walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the pool, well, I'm sorry that you're not getting the progress that you're looking for, but you are in the right place. And, I would continue working there as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point, if you seem to be still swimming upstream and not making any progress, you know, that's when you talk to your physician again about what other options are there out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's going to take a little while.
Yeah, it'll be slower than someone who doesn't have the knee and hip problems on top of this.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we have to rethink how we define success in terms of therapy. Sometimes success is defined as not getting any worse, where you're maintaining your cardiovascular status, you're controlling your diabetes, you're controlling your hypertension, you're doing good things for your heart disease or whatever, without worsening your knee, hip, or back symptoms.
Yeah.
Right. Jen, I'm sorry, the other thing that they, if they're not having you do, in terms of your cardiovascular work and things you can do at home, there may be some upper body, upper extremity exercise or activities that you can do at home to get a cardiovascular effect, besides the strengthening for your upper body as well. And if that has not been provided you, again, that may be something where a physical therapist could help you with in just a visit or two to give you things to do at home when you're not at the pool.
Yep. Good luck.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Joni in Green Bay, your turn now. Hi, Joni.
Hi. I have a question about my thumbs. I think I have arthritis. This is pretty much self-diagnosed. But it's just in my thumbs, and I've heard you talk about a certified hand therapist before on the program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how you think that could help me, and how would I find one?
Oh,
so you're in Green Bay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there should be... Bill's probably better at helping find certified hand therapists, but that person can help you because there are splints that they can make that you wear during certain activities. Maybe if you're at a keyboard, that you can wear at a keyboard. If you do the kinds of physical work with your hands, sometimes there are splints you wear at night, but they can really have a protective effect for those joints of your thumb.
Yeah. What a Bill, do you
well,
know?
I think you can look in the yellow pages under hand therapists or hand clinics. And
okay.
My guess is I know there are a couple in the in that part of the Fox Valley area.
Okay.
You could also call the hospital.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I did call one of the hospitals, and they admitted that their therapists were not certified hand therapists.
Okay.
So I was glad that they were honest, but it doesn't – I don't know how to find one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would call – again, I know you have more than one hospital in that area. I would call the hospitals, or if there's a large medical center that's maybe not – tied to a specific hospital, I would call them.
Or if the hospital has a hand clinic, it may be that they don't have a certified hand therapist there, but I'll bet you dollars to donuts that the physicians who are doing hand surgery
send their patients
know,
someplace.
They know
yes.
where the certified hand therapists
yes.
are because that's where they're sending their patients.
Okay, good. Okay,
right.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Good luck.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Patty in Milwaukee is next. So let's go to Patty. Hi, Patty. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question is, it's about my feet. When I'm laying down at night and I wake up in the morning, you go to stand up, and I have so much pain where I can't stand until the blood flows or something, and I move my feet around, take about 10 steps. It's very, very painful. And then I finally can walk.
That sounds like fairly classic plantar fasciitis. The classic symptom for plantar fasciitis is pain in the bottom of your feet, mostly towards your heels, first thing in the morning or after you've been sitting for a long period of time and you get up to move. But it tends to be worse in the morning for those first few steps until they loosen up. So there are a number of things that can be done for that. A physical therapist can take a look at your feet and see if an orthotic would help you. There are stretching and strengthening exercises, some specific stretching exercises for your plantar fascia, where, for example, if you crossed your ankle over your opposite knee and then pulled your toes up towards your knee with your hands to stretch the tissue on the bottom of your foot, it's very helpful. At night splints tend to be very helpful for dealing with that pain first thing in the morning. So there are a number of things that can be done to treat this condition, talking about your shoe wear, how you go up and down the stairs, your movement patterns, things like that can all help with this problem. So I would try to get in to see a physical therapist who can help figure out which of those interventions might be a good match for you. And they can get you on your way. In the meantime, before you get out of bed in the morning, do some loosening for your feet. Okay, try to pull your toes and your feet up towards your head and pump your feet up and down to kind of stretch that tissue before you get out of bed in the morning. And that will help some with that pain first thing in the morning.
Oh, okay. What was the name of this again?
Plantar fasciitis. Plantars means the bottom of your foot. Fasciitis is the thick tissue on the bottom of your foot. Itis means inflammation, but a lot of times there is actually no inflammation there.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Patty.
Thanks for calling. And Dorothy in Sussex, your turn. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm having problems with my right arm. I make draperies for a living, so I use my right hand quite a bit, pulling, stretching sometimes, that sort of thing, and I've noticed a lot of pain in it lately.
Okay. Dorothy, is the pain just in your hand? You mentioned your arm. Is it in the whole arm, shoulder?
Mostly in the arm, just above my wrist, actually just below the elbow.
Okay. All right. And how long have you had the pain?
Not so bad. Just the last few days, real bad.
Okay.
Almost, I can't even use a scissors.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the muscle or tendon or...
Yes, very possible on both those, all of those. It sounds like you're developing a tendonitis, most likely, as long as you don't have any numbness or tingling down into the wrist
no.
or hand.
Okay. I used to have that,
okay.
But it stopped. And I haven't had that for a long time.
Okay.
And now this.
Okay. All right. Have you seen a physical therapist for this in the past?
No.
You know, Dorothy? Well, I would recommend, if in fact it is a tendonitis, you want to control it as quickly as possible so it doesn't become chronic in nature. Then it can take a long, long time to recover. There may be some, they should be able to give you some exercises to do, help you talk about heat versus ice. Maybe a splint may help you get through this as quickly as possible. But, you know, considering what your vocation is, and I'm assuming you've got some work coming up waiting for you.
You bet.
Yeah, I would get in and have it looked at to get this under control as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Thanks for
Is there anything I can do before I do see a doctor?
Well, I would ice. I would certainly use ice. Now, so then come back to your elbow, just below your elbow. Is it on your thumb side of your arm or the little finger side of your arm?
Little finger side.
Okay. All right. So you can do some gentle stretching of extending your wrist, bringing your wrist and your fingers, pull them back up towards your elbow.
Okay.
And not a hard stretch. Think of coaxing as opposed to aggressively stretching and maintain that stretch for a good 20 to 30 seconds. Also some stretching of your shoulder, your wrist and hand and shoulder together. If you raise your arm up out to the side, bend your elbow, and turn your palm up toward the ceiling, will give a good stretch through that part of the forearm, wrist, and elbow region.
Okay.
As well.
I'm doing it right now as we speak.
How does it feel?
Doesn't feel too bad to me.
Yeah. I think Larry's looking for some sympathy again.
What about taking, like, anti-inflammatories?
You know,
like ibuprofen or something like that.
Yeah, if it's something that you've done in the past for aches and sprains and your physician has never told you not to take those medications, then I would go ahead and take it as you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. But if it's something it's not something that you typically take, then I would give your physician a phone call and just talk to a nurse practitioner or the PA mm-hmm. in that office and just clear it with them.
And good luck. Thanks for calling. And Bill and Lori, thank you so much.
Pleasure,
thank
as always.
You.
Happy holidees to you and everybody, all the mm-hmm. listeners out there.
And we'll see you next year.
Indeed.
Yes.
They'll be
yes,
back in about a month, and we'll do this all over again. And thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.